The second one is rucaparib, and on October of 2018, there was another breakthrough designation for rucaparib in prostate cancer. Interestingly, by now, the FDA had gotten a bit smarter and the data had been emerging, and they excluded ATM on this breakthrough designation. So this one specifically says treatment of BRCA1 and 2 metastatic CRPC. So maybe serendipitously, this study might be more positive because they're excluding the ATM patients. Rucaparib is a stronger PARP1 and PARP2 enzymatic inhibitor, but it's not a stronger PARP trapper. The significance of PARP trapping in humans is really unclear. And they have a phase 2 and a phase 3 program. Their phase 2 program is called TRITON2. This is a third-line study. Patients have to have received both an AR therapy and a chemotherapy. TRITON3, which we don't have results on, is a second-line study, and patients have received only an AR therapy. And the gene list, which is overlapping with, but not identical to, the gene list with olaparib, includes BRCA1, 2, ATM, plus 12 other genes. Again, these are not identical, and there's no uniformity here. So these are the preliminary interim data of the TRITON2. So this is the phase 2 study. They have to have received an AR therapy plus a chemotherapy. This shows a waterfall plot for objective response. We have to remember that not all prostate cancer patients have soft tissue disease, so this only incorporates those patients that do. And while this looks quite impressive, most of the benefit comes from BRCA1 and 2. An overall response rate of 44% in the BRCA1 and 2, only 9% in the ATMs, 0% in the CDK12s, 0% in the CHK2s. So the pattern is repeating itself that, again, with a different PARP inhibitor, the same overall conclusion that the majority of the benefit is coming from BRCA1 and 2. This study did not separate those two, so we don't know if that's actually being driven by two rather than one. But what is clear is that ATM, CDK12, and CHK2 are not responding. And that is true as well when you look at PSA responses. So again, when you look at this waterfall plot, you see that most of the bars are going downwards. But PSA response, BRCA1, 2, 52%. ATM, only 3%. That's pretty low. CHK2, 14%. CDK12, 7%. So once again, the chance of having a PSA response to rucaparib, second PARP inhibitor, is greatest in BRCA1 and 2, less in ATM, CDK12, and CHK2. And then the third one, with a breakthrough designation, October 3rd, 2019, niraparib. Again, ATM was left off of the breakthrough designation language. Again, just BRCA1 and 2 mutated prostate cancer. This can be germline or somatic. And again, this PARP inhibitor, not only is it a strong PARP1, 2 enzymatic inhibitor, but it also causes this so-called PARP trapping, which means that the PARP gets stuck on the DNA, is unable to dissociate, and supposedly induces more double-strand DNA breaks by getting trapped on the DNA. Nobody knows if that's important in humans, but the drug companies think it is. And the study is called Galahad. And the interesting thing about this study is, in this study, the gene list was a lot more restrictive. It only consisted of 6 genes. BRCA1 and BRCA2 were the ones that were part of the primary analysis. And then there were 5 additional genes. ATM is in there. Now, one distinction with this study is that the investigators required a biallelic inactivation. So 2 copies of the gene had to be mutated or lost. In the other 2 studies, that was not required. So this study required screening more patients to find those that were biomarker positive, because a single mutation, let's say in one allele of BRCA2, even if it was clearly pathogenic, was not enough. They had to have 2 hits. And here, the orange bars are the BRCA1/2, and the blue bars are the non-BRCA. And in this study, they did not tell you which patients were which bars. You know, the best 7 or 8 responses, objective response, were all in the BRCA1/2s. Very few responses in the blue patients, which were the non-BRCAs. Same when you look at PSA, with one exception of this blue guy who may have had some other gene mutation that was undisclosed. Almost all the other more profound PSA responses were in the BRCA1 and 2. So 3 different studies coming almost to the identical conclusion, which is that in prostate cancer at least, the benefit is largely driven by BRCA2, perhaps 1, we're not sure about that, not ATM, and probably not the other genes. So my conclusions from this are that somatic and germline DNA repair gene mutations are common in prostate cancer. They affect about 8 to 10% of localized disease, 20 to 25% of advanced disease. These homologous repair mutations, primarily BRCA2, may sensitize to PARP inhibitors. There's also data that I did not show that these mutations may also sensitize to platinum drugs, which we don't typically use in prostate cancer, and also radium-223, which is a double-strand DNA-damaging radiopharmaceutical product. If you have a drug that damages DNA and your cancer cell is not able to fix the DNA damage, it might be more effective. And olaparib and rucaparib are likely to be the first PARP inhibitors to receive FDA approval. Neither one has yet received FDA approval in prostate cancer, so these are still off-label use. And there's a third one underway, which is niraparib, and now there's a fourth one called talazoparib. And the unanswered questions are whether these drugs work better in germline versus somatic. The hypothesis would be if you have it in your germline, that means that every tumor cell has it. If you have it in the somatic, only a fraction of tumor cells might have it. And the second thing is, if you have a germline first hit, you're more likely to have a somatic second hit, that biallelic thing I kept talking about. Whereas if it's somatic, a lot of the somatics are just monoallelic. So the word on the street is, and we have not seen the data yet, that you are probably more likely to respond if your first mutation is a germline mutation, although that has not been proven.